Good evening.
Good evening, brother.
I appreciate all the prayers on behalf of my wife and my daughter and her family, and on my behalf of myself as well. They're doing really well. We certainly live in a world of convenience. When Brittany told me that they were in Gunnison, Colorado, and that they had flown the baby to Grand Junction, Colorado, I immediately typed these two cities into my phone and to find out how far they were apart, which direction one was from the other. When Darla left to drive up there to be with her, she was still in Gunnison at the time when Darla left. She left early Saturday morning and started driving. But as she was on her way, Brittany was released and sent over to Grand Junction. And Darla was driving along, and she had not slept at all the night before. From the minute that Brittany called, or that Garrett's dad called, until the next day, she never went to sleep. She literally could not sleep, worried about Brittany and worried about the baby. And so she was coming into Amarillo. She called me, and she asked me, is this the last big town, or am I going to come up to another town before it gets too late? She didn't want to have to drive another 3 or 4 hours before she stops for the night, but she knew she needed to stop for the night. And so I looked at the map, and again, I pulled it up, and I said, well, it depends on which way you go. If you go through and take this road, it's going to put you in a few small towns that I've never heard of. If you go this way, it'll put you in some really well-known towns, but they're pretty small, too, from the looks of things. She opted to stay in Amarillo, but a few hours later, she called me and said, hey, it's really bad. The storm is really bad, and I really can't tell where I'm going, if I'm on the right road. I don't know what's going on. Again, I pull the map up, and I look, and I'm like, you're doing great. I could tell, literally, from an app on my phone, I could tell where she was going, and I could tell that she was in the right place. It's extremely valuable to us to be able to check the position of our loved ones, or to be able to look at something in where they may be, or where someone may be, or where we may be going, just to be able to look at that. Most comforting to her was the fact that I could tell her to keep going. You're on the right path. You're on the right path. You're doing well. Days passed, a passenger would pull out a map and look at that map, and the driver would say, where do I need to go? Okay, keep on going. We're going to turn up here. Now we have this annoying, nagging woman's voice that tells us, turn right in 4 miles, in 3.5 miles, turn right, in 3.25 miles, turn right, in 3 miles, turn right. Shut up, I get it, right? Or the maps that tell us how to get out of our driveway. Back up, turn around, turn right as you leave your gate. I don't need all that. But it still is valuable. And as valuable as MapQuest and those types of apps are, they can sometimes give us really bad directions. And I remember going to a family get together. It was some kind of a celebration for an accomplishment of one of my sisters. And we put it in the map, and it told us where to go. And we're almost there. We're almost there. And it turns us down this road, and it says, you have arrived. I have arrived at a warehouse in a field. I have no idea where I'm supposed to be. I turned around and I got back on the road we were on, and ended up, it rerouted me, and it took me around to another place, and eventually I found my way. But we can get just as bad of directions from another person as we can from our apps or our electronic devices. In fact, we usually trust our mapping devices more than our friends for giving us good directions to their house. Sometimes people give us directions, and no matter how direct and simple they are, we don't fully understand, so we ask again, and they give us the same exact answer. The Bible is like this, no matter whether we understand it or not. It is not changing. We'll say the same thing each time we read it. I know some people have read it, and they try to get it to say something else because they don't agree with what it says. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever, is apparently inherent within the male genetics to not want to ask for directions when we're out driving. Going around, we have a saying, when all else fails, read the instructions. I remember working in the manufacturing business, and we put together these dog houses. They were real simple. They had a bottom, they had two sides, two ends, two top pieces, and they were had screw. Everything was there. All you had to do is open it up, and inside the roof portion, we had laminated a sheet of paper that had all the instructions. It was right there. So when you take that out, you can look at it and you can read the instructions. That was the last board that went on. So you can follow the instructions, get it all put together, then put that board on there, and you're done. And I don't know how many people would call and say, man, I lost my instructions. I don't know where they're at. They're glued to the inside of that top. They would not read them. They'd get that thing messed up. They couldn't figure it out. Because people fail to read instructions. Unfortunately, many have gone to their graves never having really studied their Bibles, the real instructions that we have to get through this life. They just don't study it. They don't read it because of this attitude. They have that same mentality. It's really sad because most people want to make sure before going on to public transportation or getting on an airplane, they want to make sure that they're on the right plane going the right direction. They don't just go up there to the airport and say, hey, that's the shortest line. Let's get in that one. Maybe it'll get us where we're going. No, it's going the opposite direction. We always make sure we get on the right plane or we get on the right bus or whatever it is. Yet on the troublesome road of life, we travel, we often find that we've been given a map to get us to our destination, which is our Bibles, and we fail to look at it, or we fail to really look at it as a map or something that will get us where we need to go, which is ultimately to get to heaven. It gives us everything we need to know, and so oftentimes we push it aside, won't look at it, or look at it once. I really just don't understand it, so I'll take my chances. How many people in the world today say they can't understand the Bible? It's just too complicated. Thee and thou and thus and thine. I don't understand it. It's too hard. I just won't even read it. That's a cop-out. It really is. I heard someone once say, those who claim that you cannot know the truth usually don't make that claim until they have departed from it. And that's a profound statement. I don't know who made it. Some preacher made it somewhere. But if you think about that and let it settle in for a minute, it is very, very profound. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. If you have a King James version, it says that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. This passage will be the foundation of the rest of our lesson. A closer look at this passage will show that Paul is encouraging Timothy. Imagine Paul having to tell Timothy that the scripture was given by inspiration and to stay the course and hold fast those things which he had been taught. And he's telling him, this is the way it is. These sound words which he is calling scripture. He tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 3 verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So he's telling him all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and these scriptures are that which you've known since you were a child. Hold fast to those things. Stick close to that. Some folks would have you to believe that you can be saved without the church and without the scriptures as long as you believe. This passage says these scriptures are able to make you wise unto salvation. So we look into the scriptures, we should be able to find out anything, whether it's true or not, based on scripture. Exactly how are scriptures supposed to make us wise? Our text from 2 Timothy says that the scripture is profitable for doctrine. And what is doctrine? It's teaching. It's teaching. A doctrine, someone has one doctrine, another person has another doctrine, has a different doctrine, different teachings. It's interesting to see how many different doctrines there are among the religious world today. Some people have various ways that they interpret the scriptures, and their teachings go off from that. Sometimes they leave the scripture altogether. Some people have even taken the Bible and adjusted. They read it, doesn't say what they want. They read it, they didn't say what they want. So they reinvent it, so to speak. Some Bibles have been rewritten to suit man to his own desires instead of to God's teachings and the doctrine of Christ. Jesus said that his teaching was not his own, but that it came from God. John chapter 7 and verse 16. John 7 verse 16, Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. Matthew chapter 28 verses 18 and 19. Matthew 28. Verse 18 and 19, Jesus told the apostles, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. And I use this verse many times. It comes up in sermons, but right here it's telling, go out and not only make disciples of all men, or go baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, but it's to teach them all things that I've commanded you. Some people want to leave those things out. I don't like that one. I'll leave that out. I want to teach them that thing. And I've even heard preachers and evangelists say, yeah, that's a difficult topic. I don't want to go there. Or asking about a preacher and say, what kind of preacher is this guy? Well, he's pretty good. He's never going to preach anything that's untrue, but there's a certain amount of doctrine that he's going to go around. He's going to avoid hot topic issues because he doesn't like the confrontation. We need to preach the whole counsel of God. And there's some people that are lost and we think, well, he's probably never going to change. He loves his wildlife too much, or he loves this too much, or he loves that too much. Well, the fact is, he may not even know that it's wrong or that God condemns it, or else he would change. Jesus told the apostles to teach those things that he had commanded, and that is to spread his doctrine. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, when we had our first sermon, basically a gospel sermon, says of the new converts, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. They continued in that doctrine. They stuck with it. They didn't depart from it. They didn't add to it. They didn't take away from it. They followed that and stayed with that and that alone. So many times we have people that say, well, you know, times have changed. You know, we're living in a modern time. Things are not the way it was back then. It was that way because they were barbaric. Those archaic teachings are old and done away with. But those new converts continued in the things that were taught them by the apostles. We know that the teaching or doctrine can be obeyed. We can obey the doctrine. Romans chapter 6, verse 17. Romans 6, verse 17 says, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. In other words, once you were sinners, but now you have obeyed from the heart the doctrine. So the doctrine was taught, they looked at it, they read it, they understood it, and they obeyed it. And so we can do the same thing. According to this verse, once you obey that form of teaching which was given to the apostles, given to the apostles by Jesus, given to us by the apostles through the written word, you will no longer be the servants of sin. You obey that gospel, but the doctrine has to be true because we know that we can be deceived by false doctrine or by false, just like false directions. Somebody gives us bad directions. Oh yeah, this is the way we need to go. I can remember we were in preaching school talking, and there was a girl that was in our class, and they asked her how to get somewhere, and she goes, well, you go down this road, and you turn, and you come to that end, and you know how you go to the right, and there's that? Yeah, well, don't go that way. You go this way. And I'm like, what good is that? Instructions, don't tell us where not to go. Just tell us where we need to go, and we can get there. It was funny. We picked on her a lot from that. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. I read a thing the other day that talked about a lot of people are having health issues today because people quit going to the doctor. And well, that makes sense, right? Well, no, the reason they quit going to the doctor is because they can pull out their phone and they can say, what do I need to do for sore throat? Or what? I have this. Next thing you know, they're telling all their friends that they've got cancer or that they've got, they need a appendectomy or they need something. They're self-diagnosing is getting people sicker and making people worse off instead of better many times. And a lot of people say, well, I just don't trust the doctors anymore, so I'd rather self-diagnose. They even have websites that you can sign up to where they have actual doctors that you can interact with. You don't have to go to the doctor. And we'll save ourselves by attending to sound doctrine. In my office at my house, there's I've got a computer desk, and beside the desk there's a shelf, and under that shelf there's a cabinet. In that cabinet, even to this day, 2023, there's a box with maps in it. There's a map for Colorado. There's a map for New Mexico. There's a map for Wyoming. There's a map for Oklahoma. There's a map for Georgia. There's a map for Texas. All these maps in this box. And the reason they're there is because when we would go on vacation, we would go, okay, where are we going to go? We're going to go here. Okay, so we'd pull out the map, go to Colorado, we'd pull that map out and lay it on the table, move everything out, and we'd look at that map and we'd map out our course and see which is the easiest way. Well, wait a minute, that's way too far. And you got the little chart at the bottom and you read the deal and measure it and say, oh man, that's 1,500 miles and that's going to take X amount of time to travel. And we had those maps and we would use those, and we wouldn't pull out the Georgia map if we were going to New Mexico. So they got better roads over there. It's just so much easier to get on 1090 East and just go than to go up into Wyoming and go through Kerrville and Fredericksburg and all the places you got to go through. It's just easier to go this way. So we would always pull out the map of the place we were going to go. If we're looking at the wrong map or if we're looking at the corrupted map, we will never reach our destination. The same goes for doctrine. If the doctrine has been tainted or corrupted, It's not going to get us to our destination. And there are many people that are sitting in worship right now and any given Sunday, and they're sitting listening to a preacher that's preaching false doctrine, or he may be preaching good Bible, but he's jumping around and they're not getting the truth of where we need to go or what we need to do to get to where we need to go. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16. 1 Timothy 4 verse 16, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt save both thyself and them that hear thee. That's a call out or cry out not only to preachers but to everybody that is doing the work of the Lord by evangelizing. Take heed to thyself and to the doctrine. Favorite passage among preachers is also 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. 2 Timothy 4 verse 2, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with long suffering and doctrine. So we don't have a problem understanding the first part of this verse. It simply means be ready at all times to preach the word. But the verse goes on to tell us with all long suffering and doctrine. I think we all need to work on that long suffering and understand that he's talking about doctrine. Long suffering means patiently enduring. Long suffering doesn't mean being soft on sin, because Jesus was never soft on sin, and he always taught doctrine. The apostles were not soft on sin, and they always taught doctrine. As I mentioned earlier, there are some preachers that will avoid issues because they really don't want the confrontation, which is okay. It's commendable to want peace, but at the same time, there are some things that need to be called out. On the other hand, there are some people that will flat out call it, y'all are going to go to hell. Y'all keep this up, you're going to burn in hell. That's all there is to it. The Bible's clear. You're going to burn in hell. Y'all need to change. Well, they haven't changed in 40 years. And to try to tell them, if you don't change your ways tonight and repent and come forward by the end of the sermon, you're going to go to hell. And there are some preachers that are kind of harsh like that, and they run people off and divide congregations. Actually, divide congregations by doing so. And so we have a responsibility as Christians that we have to be neutral in the sense we have to be careful what we say and how we say it, and bring people to the understanding of what sound doctrine is. So in other words, we need to preach sound doctrine. We need to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with patience, mercy, and especially with sound doctrine. We know from the scriptures that if we don't adhere to sound doctrine, our worship could be empty. We can make it fun. We can make it sound good. And I could probably fill the pews by saying the right thing that would draw people in to make them want to be here. There's a lot of things that we can do. We can innovate to bring more people in. But if people don't want to come in to hear sound doctrine, then we don't want them here. I mean, like, they need to be here for sound doctrine, and we need to teach sound doctrine. there's some people that say, well, you'll never convince me that all of those good, honest people in the world are lost, because they're doing good, they're listening to the Bible, they're preaching, they're listening to preachers, they're teaching, they're reading their Bible, they're studying their Bible, but if they're not following sound doctrine, then they are lost. And they're even in go back to Jesus' time, why were they converting people? What were they converting them from? False doctrine. They were converting them to the truth. So Mark chapter 7, verse 7, it's not me that says that those people are lost. Mark 7, verse 7 says, howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for commandments the doctrine, or teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. There are people that will teach as though it were doctrine, men's commandments, their own ideas. If they have innovated into their teaching the commandments of men, then their worship is vain. I hear some things talk about women preachers and about young 20-year-old college men that are not married being deacons or being elders, and the scripture gives us a very clear layout of what that is and how our church is to be established, how the Lord's church is to be established, not our church, how the Lord's church is to be established and organized, and it is exactly that. So it says here that if their commandments, by teaching the commandments of men, their worship is vain. I didn't say it, God did. It's not right because it's the way I worship. It's right because it's the way that God commanded it. Some people look at you as a preacher and say, well, I don't know if I agree with him, because he says that if we're not doing it his way, then we're wrong. I have never said that from the pulpit, and I don't know any Church of Christ preacher that has ever said that, but I've heard many Church of Christ preachers say that if you don't do it the way it says in here, then you're wrong. I don't care what you say. I don't care how many different churches or different organizations. If they're not following this, then they are wrong, not because I said so, but because this says so. Well, can you show me where it says it? Yeah, it says it throughout the scriptures, but Proverbs chapter Proverbs chapter 1, verse 30, there's many instances in the Bible that it tells us that people don't listen to what they're supposed to listen to. They don't hear what they're supposed to hear. Sometimes we're shown what is not right. We refuse to listen to the reproof. That is that word that we get from our text passage is reproof, and that is showing us what is not right. Proverbs 1, verse 30, they would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. They wouldn't listen to the reproof. You're not doing that right. If you've ever raised a teenager, you understand what this is like. You tell them, you need to do it this way. No, that's not right. I told you to do it. Why didn't you do it the way I told you? I don't know. Like, that's what you, if you would have listened to me, how many times have we said, if you would have listened to me, if you'd have did what I told you, if you'd have listened to me, it comes to the scripture, it's no different. There's many people that they refuse the reproof. To ignore reproof is to reject the doctrines or teachings that we just talked about. Titus chapter 1 and verse 9. Titus chapter 1 and verse 9, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. We're not going to convince people of the truth by innovating or by altering the truth. We're going to convince the gainsayers by sound doctrine. That's the only way we're going to teach people sound doctrine. And once I've had people look at the Bible and say, I've never seen that before in my life. I've had people get to where they're shaking. They're like, I've been living wrong. I have not been, I thought I was following God, but I just realized from this scripture that I've been going contrary to God's word, and it's an eye-opening experience. I've heard people say preachers are always trying to convince us that we're doing wrong. They're always trying to convince us we need to change, and quite frankly, we're tired of hearing it. We need to quit being told that. Some would rather have Satan teach them that they'd rather listen to Satan convince them that they're right than to let the word of God convince them that they're wrong. And that's a scary thought. John chapter 16 and verse 8. John chapter 16 and verse 8. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. This is Jesus saying that. Today, many not only reject the reproof of the teacher or the preacher, but they would just as soon go the opposite direction altogether. Some people say, well, I dance to the beat of my own drum. I go my own way. I'm a lone wolf. I do my own thing. Well, when it comes to obeying the word of God, you can't just do your own thing or have it your own way. We have to do it God's way. It's so much more convenient today to go in and have it our way. Have you ever pulled up to a... There's one thing that I really, really dislike, and that's being the driver in the car and being asked to go through the drive-thru at a restaurant or fast food. Let's go to Whataburger. Oh, great. Can I pull over and let you drive? Because I'm going to have to place this order. Yeah, okay. Now, yeah, I want a hamburger, number one. That comes with lettuce and tomatoes and pickles. I don't want pickles. It comes with mayonnaise. I don't want mayonnaise. It comes, what? And then everybody tell me. And you got to relate all of this and say, ugh! But it's convenient for when we get it. It's like, hey, they messed my order up, Dad. Oh, sorry. You heard me tell them exactly what you told me. But we live in a world of that kind of convenience where this is what the number one is. It comes with this, this, and this. No, we want to change that. That's not what I want. Then you don't want number one. Well, we do. And they cater to us. They say, okay, we'll give you this. We'll give you this. They mess it up. Well, you know, at least it. If you'd ordered it like it was supposed to be ordered, then I wouldn't have messed it up. They have an excuse. But it's a world of convenience. We want it our way. In fact, one of the sayings was, have it your way. I think it was Burger King. Have it your way. You can have it your way, however you want. We'll do it whatever you want. That was a great slogan, and a lot of people went there. You know what? It's everywhere. You can have it your way anywhere. I don't care where you go. You have it your way. Go tell them, I don't want mayonnaise on it. Okay, no mayonnaise. I want a Dr. Pepper. No ice. Okay, no ice. No straw. Okay, no straw. Give it to me without a lid. No lid. I just want ice. Okay, ice. Whatever. Have it your way. Anywhere you go. But when it comes to Scripture, you can't have it your way. It's God's way or no way. And so we look at this, and many times we take doctrine and we want to adjust it just like we do the rest of our lives. I think it's great, and I think it's convenient that I can add bacon to any burger just about any place I go. Yeah, I got to, would you like bacon with it? Somebody tells me, would you like an apple pie with that? No, I'm fine. They say, would you like bacon? Yeah. Well, you know, it's a no-brainer, right? So I think it's great. I think it's convenient that we have that wherever we go, but when it comes to Scripture, we need to get out of that mode and understand that that is the way we have to do it. We have to do it God's way and God's way only. So Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 10, Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 10, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceit. This is not new. It's been going on a long time. Look, I don't want to hear what you have to say. I want you to tell me that you're telling me things that hurt. You're telling me things that are difficult. I want to hear smooth things, things that make me feel good. Tell me lies. That's basically what they're saying. Tell us like prophesy deceit. Deceive me. I don't care. It just feels better than the truth. The truth hurts. Old saying, but still true. These people told the prophets point blank, tell us what we want to hear. Don't tell us the truth. They refused reproof, and we're no different today. We refuse reproof, and we may not say it. Preacher, I don't want to hear the truth. I want you to just tell me things that are smooth. We don't say that, but we do it because we walk out and shake our heads and go back to doing what we were doing before. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Again, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. The next verse tells us why. Verse 3 says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. He's telling Timothy here that you need to preach the word. You need to be on cue anytime, ready to preach at any time, and you need to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Why? Because there's going to come a time when they don't want to listen to that. They don't want to hear it. They will, of their own lust, throw to themselves or heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. That is, teachers, you tell me what you want to hear, and I'll preach it. I'll put out there whatever you want, and I'll preach it to where you'll love to hear it. To ignore reproof is to be unwise. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 31. Proverbs 15, 31 says, the ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. But what is that correction all about? Correction is, all scripture is given by inspiration and is for correction. It is a guide for us to make corrections in our lives. The scripture is our guide. We can adjust and make corrections from that. You ever look at instructions on how to build something, and you stretch your tape out there, and you go to mark it, and you go, wait a minute, it says, I thought it said 38 and an eighth, but it says 38 and 3/8, so you remark it, or you check it. I've checked it twice, and I used to have a guy that would, he'd cut a board, and I'd say, that's too short, and he said, well, I didn't cut it twice, and it's still too short. So you got to measure and you got to look at, you got to go back to the instructions and use the scripture as the instructions to get us where we need to go. Parents, these days, I think one of the biggest problems that we have today is that no one wants to, correct. They would rather argue than admit that they were wrong, or they don't want to, we talked about this in our class, they don't want to correct their, parents won't correct their children. Even worse, modern society, they've even gotten to the point where instead of correcting, they're accepting falsity. Let's say this. Oh, no, he thinks he's a girl, so y'all got to agree with him. Well, he's not. He's a boy. I can see it. He's a boy. No, he's a girl. He thinks he's a girl, therefore he's a girl. What if he thought he was a mule? I guess he'd be a mule then. That's his prerogative, and it's the society we're in. And we look at it and we say, this is ridiculous. You think about this. If you think that the offspring of the everyone is a winner, we all get a trophy is bad, wait until these you are whatever you want to be crowd grows up and is in control. Fortunately, a lot of us won't be around because it's going to be bad. It's going to be terrible. We look at things right now in modern society, we look at things that are going on and we say, it's because of 20 years ago they were telling people, it's okay, we're all winners, we all get a trophy. No, he's a loser, he lost. He's going to have to try harder next time. That's all there is to it. He did not win, he's not getting a trophy. Sorry, go home, cry, get it out of your system, try harder next time. No, give him a trophy. He's never going to try again. So now we have this group of people growing up that, what's he doing over there? Oh, he thinks he's a mule. I wonder why he's over there eating grass. Braying like a mule. There was the Lonesome Dove series, when the mini series, they had a prequel to that, which was supposed to be before, and there was a captain in that prequel that was held captive for who knows how long in a pit, And he came home, and they rescued him and brought him home to his wife, and he's got a blanket on, and he's had a long beard and long hair, and they had got him a haircut, so he's all shaven, but he's got this blanket on, and he starts hopping toward his wife, and his wife looks at him and says, "What's wrong with him?" And Woodrow says, "Well, he thinks he's a flea, ma'am." He thought he was a flea. He would hop like he thought he was a flea. In his mind, he had gone insane in this pit, and he thought he was a flea. Today, we have a generation of people that are just that. They've gone insane. God's inspired word is profitable for correction. Too many times people fail to use good counsel, fail to correct. We need to correct that. This kid thinks he's a mule. It needs to be corrected. We need to get him help. We need to talk to him. Find out why. I just thought it would be cool. It may be that he's got a mental problem. It may be that he just thought it would be funny and got away with it. So I don't know how many times I can remember hearing grown people say, "You know, I wish I'd have listened to my parents more when I was younger. I wish I'd have listened." Parents, don't ever give up on sound doctrine. Don't ever give up on reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, because your kids are listening. Whether they hear it, whether they pick up on it, it may be years later, they're going to snap and say, "This is the way I got to be. This is what I got to do." Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8 says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother." But by the time we get to verse 25 of that same chapter, it says, "But ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof." To reject the correction is to be foolish. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 15. "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearketh unto counsel is wise." This instruction in righteousness, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for instruction in righteousness. Why do we need instruction in righteousness? We talked about what is right, what is not right, and what it takes to get right. Instruction in righteousness is what it takes to stay right. Psalm chapter 11 verse 7. Psalm 11 verse 7, "For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness." So this inspiration of God that was the instruction in righteousness, either the word of God will keep you from sin or sin will keep you from the word of God. I don't know who first penned that phrase, but I found it interesting and I've used it over and over again. The word of God will keep you from sin or sin will keep you from the word of God. And there you have people that are not studying their Bibles and they're not reading their Bibles and they're not getting into the word of God. It's usually a sign of sin in their lives. Which one's happening in your life? Is the Bible keeping you from sin or is sin keeping you from the Bible? It's an interesting thought. Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 20. Ezekiel chapter 18 verse 20, it says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him." We must go to Scripture for instruction, for correction, for reproof, for rebuke. In righteousness, our own destiny will ultimately fall upon us and no one else. There's no one else that will answer for you. We stand before the judgment. There's no one there that will speak up for us other than Jesus Christ. And if we're not faithful to Him, then what will He say? "Depart from me, I never knew you." 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Scripture comes from God. It's God's instruction. Do you think about this? When you read the Old Testament, and you see God speaking to Moses. And he was on the mount, and they... And the people were afraid to go near the mount because if they touched it, they would die. If an animal touched it, it would die. Moses was up on the mountain and the voice of God thundered from up there. And they were afraid. And they said, "Let God talk to you. We don't want to talk to Him personally. We're afraid. We don't want to die." Moses came down and his face was shining like a light because he had been in the presence of God. That same God that spoke to Moses is the God that's speaking to us through the written word. We oftentimes want to discount that as, we just got a watered down version of it because it's written down in scriptures and it's not actually God coming down and calling our name. But that's not true. It's the same God that moved mountains, the same God that brought back the dead, the same God that parted the sea, and the same God that did all those things we see. And by faith, we can believe that. that no prophecy of the scriptures is any private interpretation. We have an obligation to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity. Proverbs chapter 1 verses 2 and 3. Let us focus on God's word and make an application in our lives and do those things that God says. And not only that, but to take it to others as well. If you have any need, the message is yours. Won't you come while together we stand and sing the song that's been selected.
Hear the sweet voice of